If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. For the next few minutes of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, the 9th of July, we're going to be going through the Issues Etc. comment line. This is a line that we leave open for our listeners 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We know that you often listen with a little bit of lag time, some of you with a lot of lag time, weeks or even months, especially our beloved on-demand listeners are listening to shows that originally aired some weeks or months ago, and you don't have an opportunity to ask the question, to follow up with a question, to make a suggestion, to critique what's being said in real time. So we give you that opportunity to do it on the Issues Etc. comment line. The number, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. It's open always for you. You can say anything you want to. I think there's a little bit of a time limit, like 3 minutes, but criticism, show suggestions, questions about previous shows, questions for previous guests. First from the Issues Etc. comment line, a comment about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's convention beginning tomorrow in Houston, Texas.
This is Herman, and I was calling to just check if you're going to have a report from the proceedings of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church Convention in Houston coming up, just like with Parker Williamson there from the Presbyterian USA, and keep abreast of developments there. Thank you very much.
We are certainly going to do that. I mean, whenever there is a large denomination meeting and convention, be it a mainline liberal denomination, conservative denomination, we always like to get some kind, if we can, some kind of live update from the convention, finding out what's going on, the big issues that are being dealt with. We're going to do that, of course, with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, near and dear to our hearts. It will most likely always run during that convention week, beginning Monday, this coming Monday, during the first hour of the program. So you have to listen online. Of course, you can always listen on demand. But if you're interested in the live update, you'll need to listen on demand, issuesetc.org. Listen live. Click the button. You can hear it there on the internet or via your smartphone. Either way, we'll be bringing a brief, try and summary update of every day's event. Some will be more interesting than others. Some will be more timely than others. The stuff at the very beginning will probably be quite timely. But we try and cover as much as we can of it as it's actually going on. It's a great question, and thank you very much for the comment. Next, a connection between our interview this week with Parker Williamson about the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA and the upcoming convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
This is Paul in Milwaukee. A few days ago, I recommended the Issues Etc. special on past LCMS presidents to delegates to the upcoming convention of my church. Now I urge the delegates and those of Issues Etc. who should care what they do and who can get on the horn to them to listen to the recent report from the Presbyterian Convention in Progress, or Regress, in Minneapolis. The meeting is said to be close to the deadly fruits of greater absorption of worldly culture and of more central control by the politics-skilled and doctrinally impoverished top of their structure, and to a meaning of marriage as simply a two-human union. Sounds familiar, was said about the report. You think only the ELCA could have been in mind? Quote, those who don't learn the lessons of the past are condemned to repeat them, unquote. Does this apply? Thanks for serious consideration about Houston.
And thank you very much, Paul, for the comment as well. Okay. I think it's quite true, that old axiom, those who refuse to learn the lessons of history are condemned to repeat them. Also, not just history, but those who refuse to watch the... You know what it says in the Bible? It says, be mindful of the manner in which others walk and the end result thereof. I mean, the advice there in the New Testament is watch carefully how certain people and the outcome of their lives, good or bad, as instruction for you, as warning for you, as perhaps advice or example for you. It's good advice. I mean, it's the kind of advice that a father or a mother would give to their children. And I think it is all the more true when it comes to church bodies, denominations. Okay, it all started about 30 years ago. Actually, earlier than that, but we felt it intensely here on American soil in the American Christian Church about 30 years ago. A very serious, intentional, not, this was not a mistake, this was intentional, turning away from the biblical foundation in doctrine and in practice. Where did it begin? It began with kind of mainline Protestantism that had already long ago compromised on scholarly issues about the authority of Scripture. They'd listened to a liberal and skeptical scholarship decades before, and then the bitter fruit, the poison, I'll say the poison fruit of that, was beginning to be born in the 50s and 60s and 70s in some rather large church bodies in the United States. So what happened? It found its way down from academia, from the seminary classroom, through the pastors who graduated, into the pews, into the pulpits, into the actual churches on Sunday morning. So now, we can look at those who have, in that sense, made the leap before us, the lethal leap before us, and see what's the outcome of the way they've walked. The United Church of Christ. Formed together by its own admission, not as a theological fellowship, but as an organizational fellowship. Because they knew that a theological fellowship was, well, impossible. Too many different things were being taught by too many different churches, and yet they merged nonetheless. What will you see if you go to the General Assembly, the National Assembly of the United Church of Christ? What will you see? You will see all manner of things being taught, some of them kind of quasi-Christian, vestiges of a long-forgotten past, most of it downright pagan. Earth worship, Gaia worship, you name it, anything goes. Now, every church body, every confession has the duty to mark that, to notice it, and to say, look at the outcome of that. What has been lost? The gospel itself. The gospel, and even the worship of the true God, the triune God, has been traded in for something else. For paganism, essentially. Moral paganism. Well-meaning, good-willed paganism. And of course, the more, noticeable symptoms are that church bodies like the United Church of Christ openly embrace homosexual lifestyle and every deviant behavior that man can possibly concoct. They're ready for all of it. They're accepting and tolerant and affirming of almost all of it. And then there are people who are a little farther, or a little less far, I should say, on that continuum. The Episcopal Church USA headed down exactly the same path. The Presbyterian Church USA, a little bit further back on the path. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, maybe a little farther than the Presbyterian Church USA. My own Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, farther back on the path. But if we don't turn around, guess where we're headed to? We'll be right back.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Losing control of euthanasia.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
A recent news report in Belgium highlights a disturbing trend which should also concern us in America. The Flanders News reported the number of euthanasia cases in Belgium increased 40% from last year. More disturbingly, a government official indicated that only about one-fourth of euthanasia cases are reported. Because the guidelines for who may be euthanized are so strict, he said, some doctors are actually killing patients they shouldn't be killing and not reporting it. One bioethicist commented that once a society countenances medical killing by doctors, it's nearly impossible to control it.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
On paper, we have these wonderful confessions of faith, but they're on paper. It's the difference between what one believes on paper and what one actually practices.
How very helpful it is to recognize that God speaks to us in those two ways. Law, showing us that things aren't perfect now, that we need something better, and gospel, that tells us that God has given us that which is perfect by the death of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross.
The emphasis, again, on the leaders of the church was theological competence until the 20th century, when the ecumenical movement said put theology on the back burner and maybe even take it off the stove.
If one doesn't present the gospel of Jesus Christ, one isn't presenting Christianity.
In about 5 minutes, time for you to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Going through the Issues Etc. comment line. The number again for the comment line, 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. Time for one final comment.
Hi, this is Alan from Kansas. An on-demand listener. Love your show. Keep up the good work. I was just curious. Every day, if I'm not listening to you guys, I'm listening to Sports Talk Radio. Just kind of curious if you guys might be willing to put your opinions out there, this being this Friday before the convention, whereas, you know, Sports Talk Radio guys, before season starts, so put out their opinions as to whether a team, you know, might go 8-8 or 10-6 or whatever. Curious with all you guys' acquaintances and guests you've had on and what might your opinions be of what your predictions, what might happen this weekend, how many of the resolutions might pass, who might be elected, and what the outcome of that would be, and maybe what eventually will happen after that, you know. Will there be a breakaway if the incumbent stays in, or will people will stay in and continue to fight for the total Senate? So appreciate that. Hope you... give your opinion, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Oh, my goodness. Predictions. I am loath to predict anything. Now, I try to steer clear of superstition. A lot of people say, I'm not going to predict it because I don't want to jinx it. I don't believe in jinxes or superstitions, but I'm loath to predict anything. What is my hope and my prayer? And I speak here very sincerely. My hope and my prayer is that, first of all, the attempt to restructure the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod so as to consolidate power essentially in the office of the president fails, regardless of who is elected the next president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It's a bad idea regardless of who is going to be serving as president for the next 3 years of this Lutheran church body. My hope and my prayer, and I speak here sincerely, is that Pastor Matt Harrison would be elected the next president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I think he actually has the wherewithal and the will to, insofar as he can with God's help, try and help this church through his teaching and through the efforts of many others cooperating to bring true unity that begins with recognizing the real differences in both doctrine and practice that exist in this church body, recognizing them, being honest about them, and then, instructed by God's word, working together for true unity in doctrine and practice. It's not a pipe dream. It really can be done under God's word and only with God's help. That's not my prediction. That's my prayer. And until things happen, I'm not going to make any predictions.